Hey, hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is the Ken Holloway Show. Thanks for tuning in. Today is July 17th, and we're happy to have with us in the studio a very special guest. She is a certified relationship specialist. Her name is Lorianne Davis. And not only is she going to be on the show with us tonight, but she's actually going to fly all the way in and be with us here in Denver for the Radical Love Summit coming up next month. So please welcome into the studio. And Lori, would you mind saying hello?
Hi, glad to be here.
Hey, thanks for joining us. I know we're going to have a fun show tonight, and I got a lot of questions lined up for you that, fun and juicy stuff. And I want to say for the benefit of our listeners that I'm familiar with your work. I've really enjoyed the book that you wrote. And as a certified relationship specialist, I'd like you to start by telling us what inspired you to get into this line of work and how did you get your start?
Oh, goodness. Well, first of all, thank you. I'm glad that you liked the book. It was kind of my heart and soul. I have been doing this my whole career in some form or another. I got interested in psychology in undergrad school and went on to graduate school and got a master's in clinical psychology. And practiced for, many years. I was a licensed mental health counselor in Florida for over 20 years before I moved to Charlotte. And my license didn't transfer. So that's how the certified relationship specialist came along. And so I used to do family therapy. I used to work with teenagers and their families. And then I had a small private practice on the side where I worked primarily with women. And really loved it. But when I moved to Charlotte and I was looking at starting a private practice in a new town where I didn't know anybody, I started doing some reading about coaching and really fell in love with the idea of coaching. I really loved how action-oriented it was, how client-oriented it was. And so I took what I had always enjoyed and was passionate about and just sort of took it in a new direction. And started my coaching business here and absolutely love it.
Well, I can relate to that because, you went a lot farther in your academic career than I did, but yeah, I really wanted to help people and get, dramatic results and make a big difference and have a big impact right away. And that's why I got into coaching too. So I know exactly what you mean. Now your book is called Unmasking Secrets to Unstoppable Relationships. And for the benefit of the people who haven't read it yet, I want to say I just read it a few days ago. I thought the book was really great, has lots of great information for people. And the subtitle is now There's Four Secrets. And I was wondering how many of those you could share with our guests.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about the four secrets. You know, it was funny, when you're writing a book and you start talking to a publisher, your secrets, your chapters have to have sexy titles, right? So,
right.
Yeah. So the fourth secret is called unstoppable desire, and that is probably not what you think, but it sure sounds good, right? So it really has to do with your mindset. It has to do with being 100% in and 100% committed and having a desire for a fabulous relationship. So that's a little bit about the first secret. The second one is called unstoppable understanding. And that really is a lot about the differences between men and women. Men and women are biologically different. We are going to be different and we need to quit being frustrated with each other, expecting the other to act like us, right? You know, realize that we're different for a reason, understand those differences and really learn to use those differences to keep the excitement and the passion going in our relationships. So that's a little bit about what that chapter is like. And the book was written primarily for women. And so in it, I talk with women about how to get the love they want from men, how to make him feel like Superman, how to have the passion that you want in your relationship. The third secret is all about communication. It's about using and understanding those differences between men and women so that we really can have the kind of open communication that we want. And the last one is called unstoppable love and passion. And it really is exactly what it says. It's how do you, in the long run in a relationship, keep passion alive in your relationship? How do you make passion a priority so that it doesn't dwindle away and die, which is what happens in a lot of relationships over time? And so, you know, this isn't just academics. This book came from my life. It came from my 25-year relationship that was unstoppable for 25 years. So I took what I had practiced, not only what I do with clients, but also what I practiced in my own personal life, and tried to make it simple and easy for people to understand. I had somebody recently tell me that who had just read it, she said, I finally get it now. She said, it's like somebody explained algebra to me in a way I can understand. And I loved that description because that really was my goal of how to break things down so that they really were easy for people to understand. And there's, you know, exercises at the end of each section, things you can implement, things you can do so that you really can have not just an okay relationship, not just a good relationship, but an amazing relationship.
Okay. Awesome. I do want to talk. I want to go do a little bit deeper dive on the differences between men and women. But just in case I forget later, what's the best way for people to get a copy of your book?
You can either type my name into Amazon or you can go to my website, which is my name. It's LoriAnnDavis.com. And my book is on the front page of my website. Or if you type my name into Amazon, my book pops up.
Okay. Awesome. So now you talked about desire and keeping the desire alive. What do you think happens? Like, do most relationships say that old and kind of stale, like the romance is gone? Like a lot of couples will say, oh, well, we still love each other, but we're not in love. Like the passion's gone.
Right. Yeah. That's really sad to me.
Do you find similarities? Me too. Do you find similarities that apply to most couples in that situation?
Yeah,
either in understanding how it happened or how to fix it.
Yes, how it happens, I think it can be one of two things. One is that it is a natural progression in a relationship unless you do something about it. So, you know, we start off a relationship and we're in that romantic phase. And in the book, I talk about the different phases of relationships, but we start off and we're in that romantic phase and nature helps us out. We have all these hormones running through our body. And so we look at each other kind of with these rose-colored glasses and all these hormones going on and everything is fabulous and wonderful. Well, if that lasted to that extent, you know, we'd never get anything done. So what happens in time is that those hormones naturally start to decrease and go away. And that can be anywhere from 6 months to 2 years into a relationship on average. So now we're in a different stage of a relationship. We don't have those hormones helping us out anymore. So that's one part of what happens. The other thing is we get busy with life, right? And we can't spend as much time together as we did when we were first dating and we couldn't keep our hands off of each other. And that's all you could think about is the other person. Life just, you know, naturally falls into place and we get busier and our relationship moves more from that intimate passion stage and friendship develops. And we want friendships to develop, right? We want to be friends with our partner. What happens though is that as the hormones decrease and the friendship level increases, passion decreases, unless you do something about it. So we have to be proactive. We have to do things to keep that passion alive, or it is just sort of a natural progression for it to start to decrease. The other thing that happens is once those hormones start to wear off, we start to look at the other person different. All of a sudden, those rose-colored glasses come off. We start to notice the imperfections in the other person. You know, we start to notice the little things about them that are annoying, that, you know, that is not like us. And the more we start to have those negative thoughts and we notice those things, the less passionate we feel. So again, I think it's sort of this natural progression that happens unless we do something proactive to stop it. And so that's what couples, I find most couples don't do. Some do, and then they have the great relationship that I had.
Yeah.
But most people don't.
I agree with you. I don't think most people do that. And I got that from reading your book, that that was always important to you and your longstanding marriage, and that you were very proactive in that way. And that's what made it a happy marriage. So when people find themselves in a position where they're not getting that happiness factor that they were expecting, and they become aware of it, and now they're unhappy, what do you think most would motivate them to want to become proactive and start to make that a habit?
Well, usually when they come see me, it's that they really are unhappy, but for whatever reason, they want to stay together. They don't want the relationship to end, whether it's because they still have a level of love, whether it's they have children and a life together and they, you know, they don't want to destroy that. People will come at different phases. Unfortunately, people seek help usually later than sooner. And so for anybody that's listening, if your relationship really is not where you want it to be and you are not ecstatically happy in your relationship, getting some help and investing in that sooner is so much better than down the road. You know, it's the transition happens quicker. It's easier. You're going to spend less time, less investment in trying to get your relationship back. But so what'll happen is most people are frustrated. They, you know, aren't happy in their relationship, but they're not ready for it to end. And they will then seek out and say, well, now what do we do?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I should mention my own website too, for people that aren't familiar with the show. It's milehighlovers.com. And I just did a video last week about people. I kind of use the analogy of a traffic light. So it's like in the green zone, everything's great. It's like in that romance phase, the honeymoon phase. And then the yellow zone is caution. And then the red zone is like, you're clearly unhappy. There's tension and so forth. And my message is that people shouldn't wait till they're already in the red zone before they go to get help. But probably that's what most people do.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yeah. If they would do it in that yellow zone, it's just so much easier. But as long as both people want to, they can still get that back even when they're in that red space. What happens, unfortunately, I see a lot of times is people wait too long and one person's done, you know, and then that's when you can't get it back, is when, you know, one person out of the pair they're just done and they're ready to move on. And so we want to help people before they get to that point.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. Now, I don't think it's possible to explain algebra, but going off the analogy you mentioned earlier, if a couple comes to you and they want to talk about, or they want to get your help to, you know, improve their relationship, do you find it helps to tell them about the differences between masculine and feminine energies?
We definitely talk a lot about the differences between men and women, because I think that is one of the things that causes men and women to be so frustrated with each other, is that you know, they just cannot understand why the other person does not see the world the way they do. Why is it that I'm doing all these things that I think I'm doing things to please my partner and they're not happy at all? You know, in the book, I talk about that really when you understand the differences and you know what to do, you might find that you're doing an awful lot less and getting much better results because you're doing the right things. Because we really do want different things from relationships.
How about if we give it an example of something that would surprise a man about a woman that he wouldn't have guessed about, in terms of what makes her tick or how to please her, how to make her more happy?
that some of the things that women find sexy, I think, and okay. that actually help women to feel more passionate, men might be really surprised about. The first one is that listening to her. So coming home at the end of the day, when she wants to tell you about her day and she's going on too long about it, and you really, you know, you're on your phone or you've got that long distance look in your face and you're really not giving her your undivided attention, that's the wrong thing to do. So if you would just look her in the eye and be interested for just a little bit in what her day was like, ask her a couple of questions, give her your undivided attention for just a little bit, that would be... that's an aphrodisiac. I mean, women need that connection, that emotional connection with men in order to feel like they want a physical connection. And men miss that a lot of times. You know,
okay.
A guy was saying one time, you mean seriously, all I really need to do is sit down and listen for a little bit? I'm like, yeah, that's really what you need to do. You know, and then if you got up after dinner and did the dishes and helped with some of the housework, or helped if there's children, you know, offer to go help the kids with their homework or get them ready for bed, you know, pitching in and helping with the chores, believe it or not, is, again, another aphrodisiac for women. Women find that sexy. That's a turn on. And, you know, most men don't get that.
Okay. And how about one for the ladies? Something that they don't know about men that would surprise them.
Yes. Two things there, too, I think are really important. One is that men need their space. So if they've had a hard day or if they've got something going on in their life, them wanting to go off in their man cave and be quiet doesn't necessarily mean that they're trying to get away from you, or they're trying to get away from the children, or that they don't care about you. It really is their way of processing the day, problem solving, and that time to pull away and be alone is really important to men. And if you will allow them to do that and not fuss at them about it, but be understanding. And then if they're gone for too long, you know, it's okay to try to lure them back out, but don't do it by being angry with them. Do it by being understanding and being playful and being flirty. You know, that is a much better way. And the other thing is, if you want them to do more for you, instead of telling them what they didn't do right, tell them more what they're doing right. So appreciating what they've done. So if he's supposed to take the trash out every night and 5 days of the week he forgets, you know, and the other days he does, 2 days he does, he's going to take the trash out more often if you ignore the days he didn't take it out and tell him how much you appreciate the days he did. But that's not what most people will do. Most women will nag, right? They'll, you know, they'll point out, you know it's your turn to take the trash out. Why are you not taking it out? Do you not see that it's overflowing? You know, that is not the way to get him to take the trash out more. Giving him a big hug and a kiss when he takes it out and telling him, thank you so much for remembering to take the trash out. And again, we're not being condescending. We really are just noticing and being appreciative. He'll go, oh, well, that felt good. The next night, he's much more likely to take the trash out for you.
Awesome. I totally agree. And you also, I think you mentioned in your book, something that I really expound, emphasize when my work is that men need to feel respected and appreciate, you said appreciated, but they need to feel respected for the things that they contribute into the relationship. And
definitely.
I think in both cases, the men and the women, that, you know, familiarity breeds contempt and we begin to take our partners for granted. And we think, like, especially, I think men are guilty of this. I'd like you to chime in on this, is that men tend to default to where they say, hey, if I come home every night, that means I love you. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, we're just together. Of course I love you. I don't need to say it. I don't need to give you hugs and affection. You just should know that I love you. And that doesn't work for women.
It does not, no. You know, what, there's a whole book written about this, you know, love and respect. What, you know, what men want most in a relationship is respect. And what women want most is to feel loved. So women do, for the most part, you know, there's always exceptions. For the most part, yes, women need to hear it. They need to feel it. They need the words. They need, you know, the time, the attention, doing things for them. Whatever is their love language is. So it'll be a little different for different women. But women really want to feel cherished. We want to feel like you would choose us again. And so for men, they need to never stop dating their wife or their partner. They need to continue to do the things they were doing when they were dating. And what happens is we usually do the opposite. And women are just as guilty. Women, you know, quit showing up. They quit looking nice, you know, like, you know, if, right. when their husband's going to come home from work or something, you know, if they're yeah. home already, you know, what do you do? Yeah. Do you, you know, yeah. do you always look your worst for him, or do you try to, you know, look your best, you know, and men yeah. need to continue to pursue women. We need to not drop all of the good things we were doing when we're dating just because all yeah. of a sudden we're in a relationship. It takes time and attention yeah. to really keep yeah. a relationship going strong.
So that just reminds me, I want to share something that I read in your book. I just remembered what by listening to you, that women tend to get into their masculine during the day. And then at the end of the day, when they want to spend quality time with their lover, you said it's a really great idea to like maybe have a bath and put on some clothes that make you feel attractive and feminine and sexy. Could you fill in the rest on that?
Yes. You know, men, for the most part, stay in masculine energy the majority of the time. It doesn't mean that they don't ever tap into that softer side, you know, because they do. But for the most part, men go to work and they're doing and they're accomplishing and they come home and yes, they want to relax, but they're still in that masculine energy mode. For women, if what they're doing all day, even if they're stay-at-home moms, they're still, you know, doing a million things and multitasking. And if they go to work, they're doing, they're accomplishing, they're in kind of that man's world a lot of times, depending on what you do for a living. But they're spending a lot of time in that doing, accomplishing, which is masculine energy. In relationships, we really need the masculine and the feminine energy. Think of it as magnets, right? So the two opposite magnets are drawn to each other. If you flip those magnets around, they repel. They actually move in the opposite direction. So what happens in relationships, if we need masculine and feminine energy when we're in relationship mode in order to have that spark and that passion and that desire in our relationships. So if women come into their relationship time, whether they're dating or whether they're already in a relationship, and they're still in that, I'm going to accomplish, I'm going to tell you what to do, I'm going to fix things, they're in that masculine energy, that attraction, that spark isn't there. But women are the one, generally speaking, who have to flip that switch from masculine energy to feminine energy. So in the book, I talk about like actually setting some rituals for yourself, ladies. You know, to do something. So if you're at work and you're on your way home from work, start doing things like listening to music maybe that makes you feel feminine, you know, love songs or something. Start thinking about, you know, reminiscing about the last vacation you took with your partner or whatever it is that you need to do to get your brain, you know, out of the accomplishing, out of the list of things that you have to do. Start thinking about the things you like about your partner. Start thinking about the last time you made love. You know, whatever it is that you can start to do. And then, you know, once you're home, yes, after, you know, after dinner, or after the chores or whatever, taking some time to get into that feminine energy. So sometimes, you know, water is a good way to do that for women. So a hot bath or a warm shower, having smells that you like. So if you have a lotion or something that you like the smell of, you're doing it for you. You know, putting on something that you feel good in, not your old sweatpants and your, you know, shirt that the kids mm-hmm. have rubbed applesauce on. And, you know, so putting something on that you feel good in and starting to sort of get yourself in that mode of, now this is time for me to be feminine, for me to interact with my partner in that fun, playful way that only I get to do with my partner. So I get to be flirty. I get to be feminine. And I get to just relax in that masculine energy. And that's really important for women. It helps them to rejuvenate, to energize themselves. Really, it adds, you can be so tired, but if you can get into that mode and even just start by just snuggling with your partner, you'd be surprised at how that tired goes away and you start to feel more energized. If that makes any sense at all. Usually when I talk about this in groups, women go, oh, that's what I'm doing wrong. And the guys go, yeah, she knows what she's talking about, right? You know?
Yeah. Now, I noticed on your, thank you for sharing that with us. I noticed on your website that you have blogs about flirting and kissing and so forth and being lighthearted and playful, and men find that incredibly attractive and sexy.
Yeah.
So when couples come to you with the doldrums and whatever manner of things that they're not happy with, do you find that's usually missing? And or maybe it was never there in the first place. What's been your experience work with couples?
It's definitely missing. And I also work with a lot of single women. And, you know, when I work with the single women and they're frustrated with dating because they're not getting anywhere with the dating, usually part of the reason is it could be that they're scared, you know, they've had some bad experiences or it's been a long time since they've dated. But one of the things I usually find across the board with the women in relationships that aren't going well and the single women I work with is they really have lost touch with that feminine energy. They've lost touch with that soft, playful, flirty, fun part of themselves. I have done more discussions with my local singles group about flirting. That's the topic that comes up so often because people are always going, I don't know how to do that. Right? I've forgotten. And so, yes, we get so into this whole adult world of we have to accomplish and we're thinking and, you know, we're analyzing and we're doing all these things that we really forget how to lighten up and be fun and playful. And so in relationships, we really do need to, even if you have to schedule it on your calendar, schedule time to be more playful, more fun. All the problems, all the things that you're going to have to do, they'll still be there tomorrow. And you're going to handle them and tackle them so much better if you would spend time flirting, snuggling, kissing, you know, doing all these things with your partner. And if you're single, before you go out on that date, you know, tap into that fun, playful side of yourself again. You're going to get the second date, the third date, if you want it, you know, with that guy, because they're going to be much more attracted to you. It's not going to be, you know, sometimes women think, well, I have to lose weight or I have to do this or I have to do with that. Get that spark in your eye. Get in touch with that feminine energy. Have some passion about life. Have a spark in your eye. You're going to be surprised at how many more dates you get and how quickly you are able to find that relationship that you're looking for. I see it happen over and over and over again with my clients.
Wow. Awesome. Can you share an example maybe of some of your clients that were like pretty much on the verge of divorce and then they pull back and kind of rebuilt and now they're thriving?
Yes. I definitely had one couple that had been married quite a while. The children were actually starting to go off to college, and they probably never had a lot of things in common and didn't see things eye to eye. But it was interesting because it was the differences about them that initially sort of attracted them to each other. And those same differences years later now are the things that they're fighting about, that they don't like about each other, you know? And it's because they're focusing so much on the little things that they didn't like about each other that they forgot what they did like. They weren't having any fun. They weren't doing things together. You know, they were just all they could talk about when they first came in were all the things that they didn't like about each other. And so after setting some ground rules and at least not letting them do that in my office anymore, you know, none of that, you this, you that, and asking them to go back to remembering why they fell in love, getting them to make lists about things that they liked about each other, getting them to plan dates where they couldn't talk about the children, they couldn't talk about the things that annoyed them, right? They just had to find ways to have fun. All of a sudden, they started to like each other again. And, you know, I always tell people where your thoughts go, your feelings follow. So when they started remembering the things they liked and writing lists and, you know, having to come in and tell each other what they liked, their feelings for each other slowly started to come around to, you know, being more in love again. And they didn't really want to get a divorce. They really wanted to stay together, but they were making each other so miserable that it was not going to be long before they were going to get a divorce. And they are much happier with each other now and continuing to make progress along those lines.
Awesome. That's great because I'm getting an echo. Sorry for that. Something's happened here. But what I was going to say is, are you hearing the echo, Lori?
I do not. No, I think it's just you.
Okay. When you say, hey, it's great to be lighthearted and sexy and flirtatious and kissing and so forth, but then the person says, well, I realize that's a, you know, that's a great way to make things better, but I'm sick of my mate. You know, if my partner doesn't want to, you know, they just drive me nuts and they don't want to change. Then it seems like a little lopsided. Go ahead.
It is. But what I have found is, and I talk about this in the beginning of the book, if you become, if you learn, and sometimes I will work with just one partner because only one partner will come in, right? So if you learn how to be the best partner you can possibly be, and you learn how to really do things to please your partner and you give it your all for a period of time, one of two things is going to happen. Either your partner is going to be so pleased with you and they're going to feel so good that now they're going to want to start to participate in the relationship and the relationship will start to turn around. It's a system. And if you change one part of the system, you know, you quit saying, well, you know, he's never going to change or she's never going to change. Quit waiting for somebody else to change. The only thing you have control over is you. So if you become the best partner you can be and you are completely focused on what can I do? I'm not thinking about what they're doing for me right now. I'm just thinking about what can I do? And I learn and get some help about how to be the best partner I can be to them. There's a really good chance that they will start to turn around because they're so happy with you that they want to please you. They want to be a better partner. So that is one possible scenario. The other possible scenario is that, honestly, you didn't choose well to start with, right? You didn't pick the right partner. So when I work with singles, you know, I help them to pick that right partner. And you need to know that so that you quit beating your head against the wall and say, this is as good as it's going to get, right? The other person is just at that point of no return. It's been too long, and they have checked out, and there really isn't anything you can do about it. And that's sad, but it's okay because at least you know that, and then you can decide what to do. Knowing and making a decision is much better than continuing to just stay stuck and not have any, you know, any clear direction or any real knowledge and just sort of hoping it's going to get better or being frustrated. At least let's find out. And now that I know, and I have had that, I've had couples that that's happened with, they've come in and after a short period of time, you know, they, it's really clear to them that this is not the right relationship and that the best thing they can do is part ways. But then we can talk about how do we do that in the best way possible, especially if there's children involved. And it's better to part ways than it is to continue to make each other miserable for the next however many years. So,
So on the option A is kind of like be the change you want to see in the world.
Yes.
Like, one person has to go first and take the lead and, you know, make the effort to invest in the relationship and turn things around for the better. And, on the second scenario, I don't know if you've had the experience with this in your practice, but it could just be for men. But I know from my own experience, like, when you're fighting every day and you're miserable and you're upset and everything, and you're like, yeah, to heck with it. You know, I'm ready to bail out of here. If this doesn't work out, I don't really give a shit because, you know, I'm not happy anyway. So they act and feel like they're ready to, you know, just end the relationship and move on. But then when they arrive at a point where it's like, oh, this is real, that, you know, I don't want this. I do want to stay together. I do want to work it out. You know, have you had experiences like that?
I have. This is just my own opinion, so I don't know how valid it is. But it's what I have noticed in the world over the last. I'm not that young, so I've been working with people for 30 years now. I have noticed that when women are done, they're done.
Yeah, when a woman's done, she's done.
And I have noticed that men a lot of times will be willing if the woman, can really show some change, that sometimes, you know, they are more willing to give it a second chance. And again, that's just kind of what I have noticed. So it might not be, other people might say that's not what I've noticed at all. So I could be wrong about it. But in my, in my personal experience, I have noticed I've had a lot more male clients that, you know, even after the wife was gone, was much more willing, even though it wasn't a great relationship, were much more willing to turn around, you know, to turn things around and, you know, hope. But let me tell you, when women, in my experience, once they're to a breaking point and they're done, they're done.
Yeah. I totally agree with you on that one, of course. Yeah, when a woman's done, she's done. Thank you for bringing that up because, I forgot it. I wanted to clarify the difference between the men and women. I was talking about my personal experience. But
right.
Yeah, I think men, men get what they get in their life. Everybody does. But the reason why I'm bringing it up is because if a woman's in a situation where she feels like, oh, my man's never going to change. You know, he does this and that, and I'm really unhappy about it. And yeah, that's just the way he is. And that's the way it's always going to be. So to hell with it. Right. And the point I'm trying to illustrate is that, no, actually, if the man's taken the relationship for granted and he's faced with the harsh reality of losing it and have it taken away from him, that might prove to be a hell of a motivator for him to change things up and start making more of an effort.
It might. You know, I think some of it depends on, there are solvable and unsolvable problems. And I wrote a blog about that once, what the difference was. So I think to some extent, we really have to look at, are the problems in the relationship solvable problems or are they unsolvable? The difference to me is solvable problems are things that, you know, we can negotiate. We can start looking at things a different way. You know, when we're saying my partner does all these things that I can't stand, are they really minor things that are annoying you or are they core values? You know, if our values are different and what's important to us and what we value, what we hold dear, if what we dream of in life, our whole vision of our life, if those things are total opposite and are different, then to me, those are unsolvable problems. And you're going to find it very difficult. One person's going to either have to give up what they want, which usually isn't good. You know, you're not going to kind of meet in the middle when we were talking about values. and sure. core beliefs. If it's, you know, things that I find a lot of times people focus on little things like the trash and the, you know, they didn't put the toilet seat down and I don't know, they don't clean the house enough or they don't want to go to this restaurant or they don't want to go out or, you know, those are things that you're right. We could negotiate on. We can come to a middle ground that might make us both happy. You know, one week we do this that you really like, and I'm going to do it for you because I love you and I want you to be happy. And the next week we'll do something that you know, I really like, and you're going to do it because you want me to be happy. Those things we can help people negotiate on. And, you know, people can get more motivated when they're happier and they like what they see in the relationship to do those kinds of. So to me, those are solvable problems. You know, the core values, which is what happens sometimes. We get married and we just jump into marriage. We don't really look at who this person is. What kind of life do I want to live? What's important to me? And then all of a sudden we're, you know, down the road a ways and we're like, oh, well, we don't see eye to eye on the important things at all. Well, asking the other person to change isn't probably a very realistic thing to do. So then you have to make a decision. Do you end the relationship or do you decide we're going to stay, but I'm going to quit expecting them, right, to see things the way I do, you know, or to have the same goals. I've had couples where that's, you know, one couple in the last few years that comes to mind, their vision of what a marriage was really pretty exactly opposite. And they didn't know that when they got married. And now they keep wanting the other person to change and they get into these really big fights. And, you know, the woman kept wanting the husband to come in and he didn't want to come in. And I met him a few times. But I, you know, finally looked at her and said, look, his idea of a marriage and your idea of a marriage are two different things. You're either going to have to walk away from the marriage or you're going to have to quit expecting each other to be what you want and say, look, we need to make the best of this, right? Knowing that we hopped into this marriage thinking that marriage meant two totally different things to us. Now we have this children, we have this life we've put together that at the time they didn't want to end. So, you know, I was actually pretty abrupt with them and said, you know, you're going to have to quit fighting about it then. You just have different ideas and don't expect the other person to be the partner you want them to be. They're not going to be, you know?
Right. Okay. So coming up in August 18th, 19th, and 20th here in Denver, there's going to be a first annual event called the Radical Love Summit. And I understand that you're coming in and you're going to do a presentation there. And I wanted to hear all about that.
I am. Yes. I am really excited about it. I have two of my best friends from college are in Denver, and a new really good.
I was wondering
good
how friend. You got them. Oh yeah.
So that made coming to Denver even more enticing. But I also would come because
gotcha.
one of the people putting it together, Laura Menzi, we were both coaches in the Radical Dating TV show, which will be coming out in September, and we got to know each other on that show and. Really developed a friendship. So it was my pleasure to fly out there. So yes, I am going to be talking about the power of feminine energy and how to use that power of feminine energy to get an amazing relationship, to keep an amazing relationship. So I'm excited.
Fantastic. So it's going to talk about using feminine energy to find a relationship and to grow a relationship and keep it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Can you give us an example?
Yeah, I can give you
I mean, I don't
some.
Want to give away.
And then we
I
want people want to come away. To the summit. But
we
you know,
do.
Some
and
of
let, me,
is,
let me film the details. Go ahead.
So some of it is some of the things that we've already, you know, started to talk
sure.
about. We
right.
talked about playfulness. We talked about... you know, women tapping into that feminine energy and feeling more open, more receptive, that feeling
awesome.
Side of themselves, that passion, you know, being able to tap into some of that in order to get the relationship, but also to keep it. We don't want to get a relationship and then, it goes dull. Men really are attracted to women through that heart connection. So when, as women, when we open up our hearts and we're softer and we're gentler and we can be kind of fun and sort of playful, men are drawn to that. Whether it's, this is a story that I really love. They're drawn to it if in a partnership way, but they're also drawn to it in other ways. I have had women who will say to me, I finally got the feminine energy thing, right? I finally got it. And I've noticed that men are, are holding the door open for me more. There, one lady said, I was coming out of my office carrying a box and it wasn't even heavy. Some guy came out of the office and said, could I carry that to your car for you? She said, people never used to do that. They're smiling at me more. She said, life just seems different. And she said, the only thing I've done different is I've tapped into that feminine energy. So I think that I always love it when, you know, when women come to the next session and they're starting to practice this and they notice changes in their lives. They notice their life getting better in all kinds of different ways. Because they, when they're in touch with that feminine energy, they're also taking care of themselves. They're spending time loving themselves and doing self-care and things that make them feel good. So we're not just doing it, ladies, if you're listening. You're not just doing it for a relationship. You're not just doing it for a guy. You know, sometimes women will say, depending on the mood that they're in, well, I don't want to do anything more for men, right? So I always say, that's the side benefit you're going to get out of it, is your relationships are going to be better. But you do it first and foremost for you, because it's going to make you feel better. It's going to energize you, revitalize you. You're going to feel different. All this multitasking and stuff wears women out, and they need to make taking care of themselves a priority. And so tapping into that power of feminine energy is a way to take care of themselves.
Well, I can't wait to see your presentation. I'm really looking forward to meeting you in person. And everyone who's listening to the show, you're invited to come join us. The details are that this is August 18th, 19th, and 20th. It's going to be here in Denver near downtown by the Broncos Stadium. And we'll be kicking off Friday night with a cocktail reception mixer. We're going to have live entertainers, and then we'll have breakout sessions all day Saturday and all day Sunday with lots of romance, love experts, romance, love, and dating experts coming in to present and make it a radical love summit. And you can get all the rest of the details and register for the event at theradicallovesummit.com. That's theradicallovesummit.com. You can register right there on the website. And if you live out of the area, you can book I think there's a recommended place for people to go and stay. So it's going to be a great event and the first of many to come. I'm really excited about it. I'm going to be there all 3 days. And Lori, I know you're flying in. I'm going to get a chance to meet you in person. And I'm really looking forward to it. It's very exciting. So thank you for being on the show. It's been a pleasure. I hope to have you back again on the show. And before we sign off, is there anything else you'd like to add for our listeners?
Yeah, when we had talked about this before, we talked about that we might talk about kissing, and we didn't get to that. So do we have a few minutes left to talk about kissing?
We do.
If we start talking about love, passion, flirting, kissing, I love those topics. I just come to life.
Always time for talking about kissing. Yeah.
Okay. I just thought you might be disappointed if we didn't get to that, right? So I wrote a blog one time.
No, we're on a time difference, and it's late there. Go ahead.
That's okay. I wrote a blog one time. It was so much fun to write, and it was called Kiss and Tell, Kissing Secrets Revealed. And I thought it was just so much fun to do this research on kissing. I had heard something, I don't know, on the radio or something, which made me think about it, and I started researching the topic. And so, you know, in the beginning of relationships, we do a lot of kissing. And then, you know, sometimes as relationships go on, we forget to do that. So for couples, you know, we really need to think about, it's really important. Kissing raises the hormone oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone. And so men are sensitive to this as well. Women are even more sensitive to it. So guys, if you would like to help her get in the mood, kissing, you know, kissing is bonding. So spend some time kissing her, but not always during sex, right? So if we could kiss sometimes with no expectation, you know, kiss her on the back of the neck and walk away. I have a very good friend of mine that is a guy, and we're always, you know, banter. He's got a degree in psychology too, so we like to talk about these things. And he says his advice is to kiss her like you love her, not just like you want her. And I love that advice. I've been using it ever since he first said it. He's been on the radio with me before talking about that. But, you know, kissing in relationships really helps you to feel connected and loved and attached. And it will help raise those hormones, which tend to lead to other things. So that is for couples. Do you have anything you want to add to that from the guy's perspective?
Well, you know, I do. I will. I would like to add to that. And I made a video about it, actually, it's in my Friday Night Delights program, the home study program, which is for a guy, like, when we talk about the differences between men and women, and men tend to get excited, you know, from the inside outward, and women tend to get excited from the outside towards the inward. So guys have a tendency to rush everything. And so I like to recommend to guys, like what you were saying, is, you know, if you want to touch your woman, you know, touch her shoulder, give her a kiss on the back of the neck. And, you know, maybe touch the outside of her hip or something, and, you know, start a romance. And so that a woman has time to enjoy it and get excited about it. And are you feeling me on this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, good. So, yeah.
Yeah, not so direct. Not so direct.
So
you
to
know?
Not rush it, because yeah. I think women are completely able to interpolate into the future that if the guy's wanting to rush everything, then, you know, he's going to want to rush the sex too. And
Right. That's
not a good thing. So I do encourage, I second you to tell men to kiss your woman, nibble on her ear and kiss the back of her neck and be playful and have that connection that involves touching and flirting. Yes.
Yes. And, you know, then I talked a little bit, and then that can, maybe we can kind of end it with there. But for, you know, if you're dating, that first kiss can really be a deal breaker, or it could get you a second date. Now, or another date. It doesn't have to be on the first date. But again, here's the thing that men need to realize, that there's a difference. You know, men are kissing for the most part, and they're kissing because they're trying to entice the woman. Women are using that kiss to collect information and determine if she's interested in getting to know you more. So that first kiss can be a key to the guy's personality. So guys, again, don't rush that, you know, and men can be too aggressive with that first kiss. And when I talk about this in groups of like 50 men and women that will come together for my local group that I run. And, you know, the women unanimously, you know, hands down talk about this. So guys, my suggestion to you is to lean into that first kiss with her, you know, so take that step closer, lean in like 90% of the way, and then see what she does. Does she lean in the rest of the way? And then if that's the case, you can continue to initiate the kiss. If she starts to pull away some, then it's not the right time. She's not receptive, and don't try to force that. So be a little bit more, look at her body language and listen to whether she is receptive to that kiss. And then make sure that first kiss with her is softer and is more tender and is not, you know, make her want more of a kiss. Don't be too aggressive with the kiss. allow her to take the lead to kind of deepen that kiss and see where it goes. Men, a lot of times, are too aggressive with those kisses. They kiss them, right, you know, too soon before she's ready for a first kiss, and then they're too aggressive with the kiss. And when that happens, your chances of getting another kiss aren't great, guys. So take it slower. Let her warm up. Let her, you know, let you know when she's ready for more. So that's my advice about kissing. If you're in a relationship, well, lots more of it. And if you're just starting out, be a little cautious.
Totally. Yeah, let me ask you a question. What do you do if you're a woman and you're out on a date with a guy that you like and you want him to kiss you and he's not picking up on the signals? What do you do as a woman?
Oh, I think that you can definitely, assuming that you're in proximity, that you can do that, you can definitely lean in and give him a kiss. I don't think that most men are going to mind the fact that you leaned in and gave him a little kiss. You know, again, if you're the female and you're not sure, lean in and give him a little kiss and then back away a little bit and see what he does. If he, you know, backs away from you, well, maybe he's not into you. You know, maybe the chemistry is just not there for him. And that's okay. You've just learned something. But if he is, you've just let him know very clearly that you're interested. So I think it's okay for the woman to do that, as long as you're picking up that he likes you and he's interested in you.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I ask because I think a lot of men are either they're not picking up the signals or they're uncomfortable because they're not used to dating, or they don't want to offend the woman by like feel like they're coming on too strong. So it's better to just kind of wait. So then they wait too long.
Yeah. And then the women think they don't like them. Yes. I agree. Yeah.
Well, that's a whole nother show.
It is.
So, hey, can I have you back on the show again one of these days?
Sure. I would love
to. Okay. I would love that. Great. And, you know, the idea of the show is to have people call in and, you know, help people right here on the show and with lots of questions and answers. So, hey, listen, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. And I really thank you for being here with us. And I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. And again, you could connect with Lori at her website, which is LoriAnnDavis.com. And so we'll end it there. And I do want to thank you for being with us. Come join us. See us both live here at the Radical Love Summit here in Denver. That's August 18th through the 20th. It's going to be a blast. And Lori, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank
you. See you in Denver.
And
bye-bye.
Yes, you will. Bye-bye. And come see us. So we got more guests coming up. A good friend of mine and a hell of a guy is Andy Dooley. He's going to be coming up on the show here pretty darn quick. And you don't want to miss that. He's a hell of a guy. Great programs, everything, and a lot of fun. So thanks again for listening. I'm Ken Holloway signing off for today, and we'll catch you on the next show. Take care. Bye-bye.